Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give him some glory. Give him some honor. Hallelujah. Worship him tonight. Come on. He is the great I am. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first. He is the last. He is that which was and is to come. Hallelujah. He is the great I am. Hallelujah. 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 Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to tell you, God's going to do something in here tonight. God's going to move in your heart tonight. Hallelujah. God is going to lift your eyes up from your problems, and God is going to focus them upon him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said you're going to quit looking at your problems. You're going to quit looking at the circumstances, and you're going to look at the promises of God. Hallelujah. 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 When we walked in here tonight, and Brother Grissom was up here, and he was singing that song, Standing on the Promises of Christ, My King. I'm going to tell you, I knew I was in the Holy Ghost. I knew that what God had laid on my heart, hallelujah, was for us tonight. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you that there is something about it. Amen. When we know that we know that we know, hallelujah, there's no fear, there's no trembling, there's no turning back. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, you need to lift up your hands and thank God tonight, because God is going to work some things out tonight in your life. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Amen. We did just come through a hurricane. The eye of the hurricane passed right over our house. Amen. We ate spaghetti in the eye of the hurricane. Hallelujah. If you've never been through a hurricane, don't pay money to try to go through the experience. Avoid it if you get the chance. But if you do go through one, there is something to be learned there. Amen. You see the hurricane and the storms that are going all around about you. But when you're in the eye of the hurricane, it's stiller than what it is in this sanctuary with these fans blowing. Now, there's 100 miles an hour of wind, every direction, all around you, tornadoes spinning off, rain coming down in torrents, just in sheets. I mean, you know, if you've never been in 80, 90 mile an hour wind and it raining, it's something. I mean, it's going sideways. And if there's some way that it can get into your house or get into the church, it'll get in there. Amen. It'll blow in one way or another. Amen. But when you're in the eye of the hurricane and it's still, it's peaceful, it's calm, that's the way it is living for God, folks. Amen. When you're in the perfect will of God, come on now. When you're in the perfect will of God, it doesn't matter. You can be broke. Car can be broke down. There can be $5 gallon gasoline. Huh? Right. But there's still a peace in your heart. Amen. Because you're there where God wants you to be. Amen. And when you are in the will of God, oh, there's storms, without a doubt. There are things that are beating and blowing and going. But you know what? There's a peace. Jesus said, I'm come, you know, to give you peace. Amen. Come to give you life, and that more abundantly. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to go to the word of the Lord tonight. Amen. I don't want to belabor you tonight, but I do want to minister, and I do appreciate Brother and Sister Grissom. Amen. I'm going to tell you that, you know, you do appreciate the people that went before you, that worked, that labored, and they did a good work there in Raymondville. And I'm thankful to be able to pastor the church that he once pastored. Amen. And Brother Grissom, I do mean that. Amen. Appreciate the work that you did. And there are souls being added to the work of God even today. Amen. Because the doors stayed open. They had revival when he was there. They got up to 150, 160 people, man. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. God blessed them. Amen. We're working towards that. Yes, hallelujah. Thank God. But praise the Lord. I want to go to the book of Hebrews, 12th chapter, familiar passage of Scripture. I'm going to read just two verses there in the beginning of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Somebody said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Let me get this water opened up here while y'all are fanning your pages. Thank God. I'm sure as many of you can quote this passage of Scripture from memory. Amen. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking, everybody say looking. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's set our Bibles down and lift up our hands. Amen. I want Brother Grissom to pray and ask the Lord to open our hearts' doors. Amen. To open our eyes to see, to look unto Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Grissom.
Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight. We're in your house. Lord, your presence. Press fresh anointing.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
And give us the word that you give.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
give us grace, courage, and faith to receive.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank God. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand praise.
Amen.
Amen. Worship him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Looking unto Jesus. Now, there is something about the Word of God that when you begin to look at it and you study it and you begin to think about it, this book of Hebrews, in the original writing of it, there were not chapters, there were not verses. Those chapters and verses were added later on so that we could find the Scriptures more easily, that we'd be able to go to it, that we'd be able to reference back and say, well, this is where that's written and that's where that is. But originally there weren't chapters and verses, and we have to understand that this chapter 12 is a continuation of chapter 11, that it is the thought that is coming in after chapter 11. And chapter 11, of course, we know and we recognize as being the faith chapter. And it is the roll call of the faithful, the heroes of faith, great men of God, hallelujah, that sacrificed and gave and overcame and conquered and had victory in the name of the Lord. And Paul, or whoever it is that's writing this, but the writer of this book of Hebrews, he says, seeing then we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And he says, you know, now there are people that are watching. There are people that are around about us. And I want us to be aware that there is a great heavenly host round about us. Many times we forget the fact that there is angels camped round about those that fear the Lord and that love the Lord. There are many times we forget about, you know, the prayers of people who have died that have gone on before us, and those prayers are covering us today. There are things that have happened all around us that we may not really be aware of, we may not be cognizant of. But he says one thing, he says, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. He said, lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. I'm not going to get into that tonight. And run with patience. But he does go on and he says in verse number 2, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Hallelujah. If there is a secret to longevity and living for God, brother, if there is a key of successful living for God, It is that if you can turn your eyes upon Him, if you can look unto Jesus. Let me just tell you something. Listen to me here. Did you know that Noah had problems after he got off the boat? Huh? He had problems, brother. He had a little drinking problem. Huh? I mean, he got drunk. Now, you know what? If you go looking at Noah's life, and depending on which part you look at, you say, you know what? That fellow, he built the big ark. He did this and that. But you know what? He went out and got drunk. My, my, my. Abraham. Oh, boy. Abraham, father of the faithful. Great one. But, you know, you get to looking at him with a magnifying glass. And let me tell you something, folks. You're going to be able to pick him apart. You're going to be able to find some things wrong with him. You're going to be able to find some things and say, you know, why did God choose that guy? He didn't even have the backbone to tell him that that was his wife. Huh? He didn't even have the backbone to tell the king there that Sarah was his wife. Well, I don't know about somebody like that. Huh? I don't know about him. He ain't got any backbone about him at all. My Lord, my Lord. I'm going to tell you. You know, you can look at him. David, oh, ooh, brother. Woo! David couldn't hold license with the UPC. Hey, brother, I'm telling you the truth. Huh? Now, I'm not trying to knock any of the rules and regulations we got, but I'm just telling you that if you want to look at people, oh my, if you want to look at people, even people in Hebrews chapter 11. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. You want to look at them, you're going to stumble and you're going to fall. And you're not going to be able to run the race that is ahead of you. You've got to look unto Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody said praise the Lord. You have got to look unto Jesus. It doesn't matter, amen, how good somebody is. It doesn't matter how eloquent they are. It doesn't matter if they can lay hands on the sick and they can recover. You can find something wrong with them. Come on. I'm going to tell you, there hadn't been a perfect man, brother. There has not been a perfect man but Jesus Christ. And if you go to looking and trying to measure up, you know, if you want to, you can find something wrong with anybody that's sitting in this congregation. And everybody's looking at me right now. Oh, Lord. My brother. Well, they're looking at you, too, so I guess I don't feel too bad. But, you know, this is the thing, that as people, we want to look with natural eyes. But God is always trying to get us to look with spiritual eyes. Huh? I said God is always trying to get us to look at things from a spiritual sense. You see, Nicodemus came to him by night. And Nicodemus is there, and you know, Jesus doesn't mince any words. He doesn't say anything. He just tells him, he says, you know what, you got to be born again. Now, Jesus is talking spiritually. He's trying to get him to see something spiritual. And what does Nicodemus see? He sees something natural. Can a man crawl up again into his mother's womb and be born again? So what is this thing you're talking about? Jesus, you know, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven unless you be born again of the water and of the Spirit. And he went on and says, you are a leader of the nation of Israel, and said, you don't know these things? He said, where's your problem? You know, and he goes on in the very next chapter, the woman there at the well. And then the woman, he says, if you know, he said, if you knew who it was that's talking to you, if you knew who it was that was sitting beside you, then you would ask me for some water. And she goes, you hadn't got a rope. You hadn't got a bucket. You hadn't got anything to draw out of that well. There is nothing. He said, how can you give me something to drink and you hadn't got anything to pull with? Huh? She's looking natural, folks. She's looking natural. And Jesus said, you know, he said, the water that I give to you, he said, you're never going to thirst again. You drink this water, you're going to get thirsty again. He said, the water that I give is going to be a well of living water springing up into eternal life. And he was talking about the Holy Ghost, folks. He's talking about the power of God's Spirit abiding within mortal man. Amen. What know ye not that your body is a temple of the Spirit of Almighty God? Come on now. I'm going to tell you that there are things that God has promised to us. There are things that God has given to us. There are things that the Lord has said that we have to look at those things and not at the things that are around about us. Somebody said, praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you, you know, there was Joseph. And Joseph was a young man. And when Joseph was a young man, he had a dream. And in this dream, his brothers and, you know, his brothers all gathered around and bowed down to him. And he went and told them that. And, not in my life. Said, no, sir, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But, you know, but there was a promise from God. There was a call on Joseph's life. There was something there that God was telling him, saying, hey, I'm going to do some things in your life. I want you to understand that your brothers are going to come and serve you one day. And then he had the dream the second time. And this time, not only did their sheep come and bow down, but the sun and the moon came and bowed down. And he said, Mom and Dad's going to be there too. They're going to be bowing down too. And the dad said, man, you're a dreamer. But it said that he marked down, that it registered with him what he had said. Now, let me tell you, Joseph lost his coat, but he didn't lose his dream. Huh? He lost his coat, but he didn't lose his dream. And, you know, when we live for God, man, I'm going to tell you, we can lose our coat. Huh? Things can fall out. You can lose your health. You can lose your finances. You can lose, you know, I don't know about Benny Hinn and all these guys. You've got to have a Rolex to make it into heaven. I'm going to tell you that, you know, the Bible tells me that, you know, straight is a gate and there is a way and few there be that find it. Amen. But if you got a promise from God, if there is a call from God on your life, if God has filled you with the Holy Ghost, I'm going to tell you that you've got a promise, you've got an earnest of your inheritance that you cannot let go of. You can't turn it loose. There is no other way to make it. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Joseph lost his coat. He was thrown into a ditch. He was sold into slavery. He was lied on. He was mistreated. He was forgotten about. Well, I just don't think I'm going to go to church anymore. I just don't think they just not treat me right. I'm going to tell you, sometimes you're not going to get treated right in church. Sometimes, you know, your own brother's going to be the one that give you the biggest trouble. Hallelujah. Come on, I'm going to tell you, somebody can't really hurt you unless you love them. Yeah. And, you know, and if you're going to get hurt, it's going to be by somebody that you care about. But that's why you got to look unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now there were two major promises or covenants made by God to David. And I'd like for us to take a look at these two covenants tonight. Amen. I hope I don't take too much of your time, but I feel like that it's good to take a look at this because take a look at 1 Samuel 16. I want to go to 1 Samuel 16. And verse number 7. Looking unto Jesus. Remember, that's what we're talking about tonight. Looking unto Jesus. 1 Samuel 16, verse number 7. If you got it, say amen. Hallelujah. We'll give you just a second more here to find it. 1 Samuel 16, verse number 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Amen. You can try to sit and judge. You can try to sit and look at people. But amen. But I'm going to tell you, God wants you to put on your spiritual eyes, not your natural eyes. He wants you to look at things the way that He looks at them. He wants you to think about things the way that He thinks about them. Amen. His ways are above our ways. Amen. We're not going to understand everything that God's doing in our lives. We're not going to understand everything that's happening around about us. We're not going to have an answer for everything that goes on. Amen. But we can trust Him. Amen. Samuel was there. And he was telling him, he said, no, that may be the firstborn, and he's a good-looking young man, and he's tall, and he's strong, and he's everything that the people would want for a king. He said, but don't look at that. Look at the heart. Look what's on the inside. Come on. And anyhow, it goes on, and it says in, they call it Abinadab, and I'm not going to read all of that, but it got down to it, and it wasn't any of those. And so he said, is there anybody else? And he said, well, I got one more. And he's out in the field tending to the sheep. Amen. Oh, David, you know, from the very beginning, left out. Huh? Anybody been the last one picked on the kickball team or baseball team? Huh? Been there? You know, he's, man. But anyhow, you know, so they called him in. And It says in he's verse number 12, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. There was not a question. There was not a variation. He was anointed king. Amen. When God poured out the Holy Ghost upon your life, He's saying, hey, I'm going to take you to heaven one day. You're my bride. One day we're going to partake of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And, you know, all of this is going to be over with. And we have to be like David, that when that anointing came and that Spirit came upon us, that there's not going to be something that's going to turn us aside or detract us from God's promise. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Now, there was a second covenant that God made with him. First one was that he was going to be king. Now, there was a second covenant, and this is perhaps even a more important one. First one made David a king. Now, the second one, go to 1 Chronicles 17, verse number 11. And this passage is 1 Chronicles 17, verse number 11. Now, this passage of Scripture is when David had come, and he was ruling and reigning in Jerusalem, and he was had him a house built, and things were going pretty good for him. And he wanted to build a temple for the Lord. Amen. He wanted to do that. And, you know, and the prophet had told him, so that's fine, go do it. But then God spoke to Nathan the prophet and told him, said, he's not going to build me a temple. He said, but I do have something for him that's better than building temples. Now take a look there at verse number 11. It says, and it shall come to pass, when thy days be expired, that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. And I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and I will not take my mercy away from him as I took it from him that was before him. Verse 14. But I will settle him in mine house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forevermore. The Messiah. Somebody said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
The promise of the Messiah. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the increase of His government shall know no end. I'm going to tell you that that promise of the Messiah, He said when He was a young man, He said, you're going to be king. And when He was a mature man, He told him, He said, you're going to have the Messiah come from you. Praise the Lord. Those were two promises that God made to David. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, David had problems. David had discouragements. Amen. There were things that happened in his life that would have caused most people to quit and turn around and go back. Amen. I'm going to tell you, if you're going to live for God, there's going to be situations that arise. There's going to be things that happen in your life. There's going to be things that would try to make you think that God has forgotten where you are. Amen. But I'm here to tell you that when God makes a promise, God is going to keep His promise. Amen. It is impossible. Somebody said it is impossible for God to lie. Hallelujah. When He makes a promise, it's going to come to pass. Hallelujah. David was anointed king as a child, as you know, probably 14, 15 years old, a young man. But he knew that he was going to be king. And he conducted himself and he lived his life in the way that would become being a king. I'm going to tell you that when you have got the Holy Ghost, there's something down in you that just makes you want to live the way that God has called you to live. Amen. Now, you may not always understand it. You may not always feel like turning the other cheek. But there's something down in you that says, you know what? I can't be like the world. I can't do like the world does. I can't respond to things the way that the world does. Amen. I've got to be an ambassador of Christ. There's something that is greater. There's something that is bigger. There's something that's beyond just what I can see and feel and touch. Amen. There is a heavenly home. There is an everlasting God. And I'm going to serve Him with everything I've got. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Amen. David, he was there. And he was anointed king. And he was working for Saul. He was a soldier in Saul's army. And he was there. And he would go out and go to fight. And he didn't try to finagle his own way. He didn't try to put Saul out. He didn't try to upset the throne or the order of things, because he had a confidence in his heart that what God had said, God would bring to pass. And if God said it, it was going to happen. I'm going to tell you, sometimes we get impatient. Sometimes we try to work things out our own way. That's what happened with Abraham and Hagar. He got impatient, tried to work things out his own way, and we're still battling over that thing, folks. Hallelujah. And same thing with us. When we try to force the hand of God, try to make things work out the way that we know that it ought to work out, amen, sometimes we're going to make such a mess of it that it'll mess up for years to come. But David had a confidence. He said, no, God anointed me to be king. Amen. Did you get the Holy Ghost? Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, did you get the Holy Ghost? Praise the Lord. Did He promise? He said, I'm coming for you. Huh? He said, I'm going to prepare a mansion, and if I go away, I'm going to come again. Huh? Did He say that? Did He say that to you? Hallelujah. What are you worried for? Huh? What are you worried for? What are you looking at? What are you noticing? Are you looking at Saul? Are you looking at all of the things that Saul's doing wrong that Saul ought not to be doing? Amen. I'm going to tell you, you can look at George Bush and you can get upset. You can look at Obama, you can get upset. You can look at John McCain, you can get upset. You can look at the government, you can look at, you can just look probably at your local officials. You can get upset, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to look unto Jesus. Praise the Lord. David had, his road to ruling and reigning took him through some things. Amen. That would cause somebody else to backslide. Amen. How was he able to maintain it? Because he didn't look at the circumstances. He looked to God. Now, he had feelings. Amen. He had feelings of turning back. He had thoughts, amen, of killing Saul. Yeah, he did. You know, and he said he had to repent later. He said, I'm sorry. I did. I took some liberties I shouldn't have taken. But he looked to the Lord. From the cave of Adullam, being hunted. And I'm sure that the devil came and said, some king you are, buddy. Look at this congregation. Look at this kingdom you got. Look at these subjects that you've got. You know, and said everybody that was poor, everybody that was in debt, everybody that was distressed came to David. Huh? They weren't coming to him because... They're coming to him because nobody else would have them. Huh? I'm going to tell you. What were you like when you got the Holy Ghost? Oh, I'm not going to go there. You probably weren't, you know, a Rhodes Scholar or on a, what is it, a Fulbright, you know, scholarship. You weren't on, you know, you probably weren't a candidate for the who's who or the what's what. Huh? Well, I was a dope-smoking hippie. Hallelujah. But God looked at the heart.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord.
I'm going to tell you that, you know, that he was there, and he went from the cave, and he went to Ziklag. And there were some things that happened at Ziklag that, you know, that he found greater friends in the world than he did in the children of Israel. Isn't that something? And I'm going to tell you that's something that will cause you to backslide, folks. There are good people in this world that we live in. Huh? And you can say to yourself that, you know what? That fella has got more character and more integrity about him than somebody in the church. Achish was a lot better to David than Saul was. And David was true to Achish. David, you know, was good friends with him. You know, I don't know how that all worked out, how that all panned out. But I'm going to tell you, if you get to looking, you can find people, you can find a church. You can find another church. You say, well, you know what? Well, God moved, God healed over there. Listen, let me tell you, I've gone to the Virgin of San Juan. They have a big shrine. It is a national shrine. People come from all over the world to go to this shrine that they've got there in San Juan, Texas. And they have a miracle room there in the Basilica of San Juan. Y'all, I don't know, there's probably not too many Roman Catholics around here. I'm sure you got some kind of Catholic church, but, you know, I remember I grew up in Sherman. There weren't too many mackerel snappers. Oh, you're not recording this, are you? That's what we used to call them because they ate fish on Friday. They don't even do that anymore. But anyhow, I could take you in there, and I can show you people that have grown long ponytails of hair making a promise to the Virgin Mary if something would happen, and that they'd cut that off for the Virgin Mary. And there's the ponytails in there. People let their fingernails grow for months. Gross. Well, you see these fingernails, you know, 3 inches long. But they let their fingernails grow until the Virgin Mary answers. And there's crutches in there. Huh? People have been healed. Right? Hey, you may not want to hear this. Faith. Faith works, brother. Faith works. And you know, and you can say, well, you know, they're getting healings over there. I think I'll go over there. You know, they got something. Wait a minute. I'm going to tell you, you better stand on the promise of God. There is one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And I don't care if they're calling fire down from heaven and raising the dead. If they're not preaching the name of Jesus, amen, I'm not going there. Come on. Somebody said praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He wasn't looking at people. He wasn't looking at Achish. He wasn't looking at the things that were happening there. He still held on to his promise that God had anointed him to be king. And from the time that he was anointed when he was there in Bethlehem at his daddy's house to the time that he took over the throne in Jerusalem, I'm going to tell you, was a period of over 20 years. And there were a lot of ups and downs. I'm going to tell you, between these two covenants that I'm preaching about tonight are the majority of the Psalms that you find that David wrote in the book of Psalms. They have to do with these two events, these two pacts that God made to him. When he talked about Saul persecuting him, when he talked about Saul hunting him, amen, he didn't look at Saul, he looked at the promise. He looked and said, God, you know what? You're a merciful God. You're a mighty God. You're a wonderful God. You're a delivering God. Hallelujah. They turned on me from every direction, but I looked unto you, O God, and found my deliverance. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, David knew that he was going to be king. Yes. There were things. He went from Ziklag and then he went to Hebron. And he was there in Hebron and God began to solidify and bring things together. And finally, he became king there in Jerusalem. And he continued to make conquests. He continued to conquer the enemy. He continued to fulfill the will of God and the role that God had called him to. I'm going to tell you, there's not a place to stop. There's not a place to turn around. There's not a place to take it easy. Amen. We need to be taking the kingdom. We need to be taking the land that is round about us. Hallelujah. I know that in Raymondville, the church has been there since 1938. But I'm going to tell you, there's still people that need to be reached in Raymondville. There's still people that need to be reached in Willacy County. Amen. I can't just stop and say, well, you know what? These people have all had a chance to come here. And if they're not going to come, then, well, you know, let them just go on and go to hell. No, I've got to put the sickle out into the field. Amen. And gather in any grain that could be there. Hallelujah. Because God is not willing that any should perish. Amen. Folks, we got to get a hold of that. If we could get a hold of that, I'm going to tell you, in this world that we live in today, there is no hell. People don't believe that there really is a hell. They don't really believe that a just and loving God could put somebody into a lake of fire. If there's not a lake of fire, then they wasted a lot of ink. Huh? They wasted a lot of ink in the Bible. Talk more about hell. Oh, my. Oh, my, I didn't mean to get to meddling, brother. Hallelujah. But David knew he was to be king. Amen. I'm going to tell you, we've got to know in whom we have believed. And we've got to know that he is able to keep that which he began. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, God wants to complete that which he began in you. He went on, you know, king in Jerusalem. While he's there, you know, the second covenant that came to pass, 1 Chronicles 17:11, where, and we read that about that that his throne was going to be established forever. The Messiah, the deliverer. The increase of his government would know no end. Amen. I'm going to tell you that that's talking about a big government. Amen. It's bigger than the United States. It's bigger than the Soviet Union. It's bigger than the United Arab, whatever it is, Emirate. Amen. It's bigger than anything that this world has got, because it is the word of God that he will be King of kings and Lord of lords, and the increase of his government shall know no end. My Lord, preach to me, brother. How'd I have that thing turned on? I'd call somebody out from the pulpit if they had that happened in my congregation. My Lord, my Lord. Oh. Hey, yeah, you'll find something wrong, you can. I might have a drink of water. I got a little flustered there. Hallelujah. Calm down here a little bit. Hallelujah. Well, everybody woke up for a little bit. Praise the Lord. Thank God. But that Messiah, that covenant of the Messiah, Do you realize that that is so much more important than just what David himself could do? David was beginning to realize, hey, this thing is bigger than what I am. This thing is beyond what I can see. This thing is beyond what I can control and touch. This thing is going to go on forever and ever and ever. Amen. And there, the covenant that was made with him, it was told him that that seed would pass through Solomon. Huh? Somebody said, praise the Lord. Search it out in the scripture. It said that that covenant is going to be made with Solomon. Amen. And so there was, any time, brother, that there is a promise from God, any time there is a covenant that God makes, amen, there is going to be strong opposition to try to derail that covenant or that pact. Amen. Why did they crucify Jesus? They thought they could stop him by doing it. Huh? Amen. David, I mean, we, you know, people can talk about all kinds of things, but Absalom and the rebellion of Absalom, amen, if you have the time, and I'm not going to get into it tonight, but if you read the Psalms 3 through 7, the third psalm is about when David fled from Absalom. Amen. The seventh psalm is when, talking about when Cush came back and brought to him word that Absalom had died. Amen. You read those psalms, and there is an underlying peace that David has, that he knows that God is going to deliver him. Absalom was not just there because of Bathsheba. Amen. Absalom was raised up there to try to destroy the covenant, the messianic covenant, amen, that God had made with David. Amen. That his throne would be established forever. You see, if Absalom could kill David, then that thing wasn't going to come to pass the way that David had been promised by God. But David wasn't worried about Absalom, because he knew, just like he had become king in spite of Saul, just like he had become king in spite of all the obstacles, that God was going to have his Messiah. And he knew that the seed was going to pass through Solomon. And he wasn't worried that Absalom could destroy the covenant of God. Praise the Lord. Now get a hold of that, folks, because I don't know how many of y'all, the biggest problem, you know, if all your kids are living for God and serving God, praise the Lord. I am thankful for you, and you are blessed. But I'm going to tell you, the biggest trial you're ever going to have in your life is if one of your kids gets out of church. Huh? And the only thing you really got to hold on to is God. Do you know what I gave them to them? I gave them to you. They're yours. I brought them up the best I could. Lord, I'm standing on that promise. You're going to take care of it. You're going to see it through. Amen. You can't get looking at it and get to worrying about it. Amen. You know, looking unto Jesus. Amen. Absalom came, and he was trying to cut off, stop, prevent the Messiah covenant with David. Now come on, get with me. This is a little bit deep here, folks. This one you gotta really follow through. You gotta think about it. Amen. But you know, you read those Psalms 3 through 7. David knew that God was going to deliver him, because he knew that that covenant of the Messiah was going to come to pass, just like the covenant that God made to make him king. Huh? That's why he didn't want Absalom killed. Huh? I mean, aside from the fact that it was his son, but he said, you know, he can't stop the plan of God. He can't stop the things that God wants to do. He can't keep God's plan from happening. Hey, I'm going to tell you, Brother Grissom, I don't worry about getting the mark of the beast. Huh? I don't worry about that kind of stuff. Because I know it's going to happen. Huh? I can't stop it, brother. Huh? I can't stop it. There's earthquakes all over the world. You know what? I don't get worried about it. Global warming? Hey, I'm going to tell you, I believe global warming's real. You want to know why I think global warming's real? Well, the book of Revelation said the sun's going to be 3 times hotter than what it was. Hello? You ever thought to think about that? Book of Revelation talked about global warming, folks, long before the environmentalists did. Huh? Yeah. It's going to happen. Am I going to worry about it? I'm not going to turn off my air conditioner. Mm-mm. Hey, I'm going to tell you, that's one of the things that prompted me to go ahead and come up here, because you see, when we were there in Raymondville, the church had electricity and most of the saints had electricity, but we didn't. I just imagine that we're here, that you're living in Athens, Texas in summertime. Now, of course, when we were little kids, it wasn't anything like air conditioning, but we're spoiled now. Huh? Hallelujah. And anyhow, so we don't have electricity yet at our house. I said, man, you know, I'd already planned to make this trip. And that just confirmation. I don't want to. Hallelujah. There you go. You know, ain't got any electricity. I said, I'm going to come up there where the power is. Hallelujah. I know that they got it up here. Glory. But you see, David wasn't worried about Absalom taking away his throne. David wasn't worried about it because he knew he couldn't do it. Somebody said, praise the Lord.
Praise the
Lord. Now, I'm not trying to preach once saved, always saved. But I am preaching that the devil cannot make you sin. The devil cannot do anything to you without God's permission. Now, somebody said, praise the Lord. And, you know, and you look at the things that are going on. You know, we sing that song, mold me and make me after your will. And then he starts doing it, we start whining. My Lord, brother. Huh? You know why we've got to go through some things? Because God's got to work some things out in our lives.
Yes, he does.
Amen. There's no refining of the gold without some heat. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you that, you know, it says, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what happened. But he knew that that covenant, that pact, that promise that God had made, that he was going to establish an everlasting kingdom through David's seed, through the seed of Solomon. Amen. He wasn't worried about Absalom. And during all of the times. Now there was, you know, we all know the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Hallelujah, glory to God. Anybody here ever read the 13th Psalm? Just take a look at it real quick. Somebody look at it. Read me 13:1. Somebody read me 13:1. Huh? Somebody find it. Find it for me real quick. Psalm 13:1. Read it. Same guy writing in the same book. Well, what? How long will thou forget me?
Oh, Lord, forever. How long will thou hide thy face from me?
My. Same God that says, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to tell you what, you're going to have some feeling sometime. You're going to have some feeling sometime in your life that God has forsaken you. Jesus, when he was on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Amen. I'm not going to get into all of the details of that and let you preach that however you want to preach it. But I'm going to tell you, we all have the feeling sometime that God doesn't know where we're at. God doesn't know who we are. That our picture is taken off of his refrigerator. He doesn't care about us anymore. He quit worrying about us. He quit answering our prayer. He quit, you know, answering the call. Looks at the call right there. I ain't going to talk that one. Ain't got time for that one. How long would that forget me? I'm going to tell you, but David, I'm not going to get into it, but you can read on to the rest of that. And towards the end of it, then he gets into talking about, hey, but I know. I know. He looks with the natural eyes and he says, man, oh man, I ain't got any hope. God doesn't know who I am. And then all of a sudden, he opens his spiritual eyes. Said, but my God is my deliverer, my redeemer. I will praise him for his mighty acts. I will praise him, amen, because of the great things that he has done. And I'm going to tell you that that was the key to David's success, that when he began to look with his natural eyes, he didn't just look with his natural eyes for too long. He then began to open his eyes and look at the spiritual eyes and look at the things that were round about him and look at the promises that God has made. Tonight, if you look around at the problems that are in this old world and you look at the chaos that's there, hallelujah, I'm going to tell you, you're going to stumble and fall. You'll become bitter. You'll become cynical. You'll become hard. You'll become untouchable. You'll become unreachable. But if you can just somehow or another look up. Look up. Look up. You look at the things that are round about you and you're going to feel hopeless and helpless. Getting ready to close here. I'd like for you to take a look at 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. 2 Kings 6. Verse number 14. And Elisha is there, and the king of Syria is upset with him. Come down to take him captive. And they went down to Dothan to get him. Verse 14 says, therefore send he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. Amen. Sometimes the devil will launch an attack against you. Amen. You're going to live for God. You're going to do the work of God. Amen. Then the devil is going to launch an attack against you. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And the servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? He was looking at the natural things round about him. Amen. I'm going to tell you, you can look at the natural things round about that are happening in our world today. Homosexual marriages, abortion, drug use, gangs, inflation. My. You can look at all those things and I'm going to tell you, my Lord, you know, you can look at all those things and it just seems like it's outnumbering us. Huh? I mean, you look and say, man, you know, we're, 60, 70 people here tonight? I don't know how many thousands there are in Athens, but, man, there's more people not in this church than are in it. My Lord. And he goes on and he says, and he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. How can that be, Brother Mangrum? Huh? How can that be? I don't understand it. My paycheck's not going as far as it used to. I've been paying my tithes, and now, you know, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do to get gas. I'm going to tell you what. You pay your tithes. He didn't pay me to say that either. You pay your tithes. God will take care of you. Don't you start skimping out and saying, well, you know, I better cut. Uh-uh. So if you want to really get in financial ruin, you just start cutting out the church. You've got to start cutting out God. But anyhow, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Hallelujah. Now I want you to get something in perspective. The devil is the prince of this world. Huh? You're going to see corruption and filth out there. You're going to see beer joints, juke joints, all kinds of stuff. People going to them, and it seemed like that there is, you know, you don't have to look forward to see the handiwork of the devil out there. Huh? And sometimes we feel like, you know, that the devil is winning. But let me just tell you, the devil is just an angel. And the Bible said that when he left, or when he got kicked out, he took a third of the angels with him. You know what that tells me, brother? I'm not a real whiz in math, and I have to get a calculator to add some stuff up. That means that there's two-thirds still on the Lord's side. That means that there's two angels, two good angels, for every bad angel. You think about that. There's more with us than there are with them. You look at everything, the work of the devil, you know, hey, he can't do anything unless the Lord allows him to do it. Huh? And God wants you to lift up your eyes, for your redemption draweth nigh. Open up his eyes, Lord. Open up his eyes. Hallelujah. And when he opened up his eyes, he saw the hills round about filled with chariots of fire. He saw the great host of heaven. It says, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Amen. Amen. Jesus, some of the last words that he told his disciples. Twenty-first chapter of Luke. Talking about all of the things that are going on. Men's heart failing them for fear. There's just going to be so many things. Signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. There'll be great perplexity. And there are going to be those that are killed. And there are going to be, you know, great things. Earthquakes. And all kinds of stuff. But he says there in verse number 28. And this was one of the last things that he said. He said, and when these things began to come to pass. Folks, I wouldn't want to live any other time than the day that I'm living in. I know that it's a world filled with iniquity. I know that, you know, it's liable to become illegal to start to preach the way that we preach, brother. Huh? I know that we're in for, you know, turbulent times ahead. But you know what? I don't want to look at those things. I want to look up. I want to look up. He said, when you see these things, hey, I'm going to tell you, it's not going to get a whole lot better. Doesn't matter who they elect. Huh? This is the end of time, folks.
Right.
Amen. It's going to get rough out there.
Yeah.
Huh? And this is why we got to look up. We got to look up.
Yeah.
I said we got to look up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's stand right now.